This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Hello and welcome to Amazing Grace for another week. I pray you will be blessed by our program today. My name is Warren, and here at Amazing Grace, we would love to hear from you. If you have a comment or maybe a question you'd like to ask, or maybe you have a prayer request. We've also given away two free books. The books are entitled Steps to Jesus, and the other book is entitled The Desire of Ages. Both wonderful books. About the Desire of Ages is about the life of Jesus here on earth, taken from the Gospels. And Steps to Jesus is a wonderful book written about how to get to know Jesus better. Now, we had been asked in the past about the Final Events DVD. What we're tending to do now is encouraging people to go to YouTube. If you go to YouTube, and most people can, if you go to YouTube, you put in Amazing Facts, Final Events, and you'll be able to watch that 40-minute video clip about how the world will end. And it's been done by Doug Batchelor. He's done a wonderful job, and I highly recommend that if you have an opportunity, go to YouTube, put in Amazing Facts, Final Events, and that will come up for you. And it's just the good thing about it is that it not only does it give the events that will happen before Jesus returns, but it also gives them in sequence. And so it just helps to put things in the right order, and highly recommend that. But if you have a question for us or would like to make a comment on something that we've said, or you'd like prayer, look, don't hesitate to contact us. And you can do that in three ways. The first way is you can contact the station and they'll pass the information on, or you can contact us through our email address, which is 999amazinggrace@gmail.com. That's 999 Amazing Grace, and Amazing Grace is only 1G, at gmail.com. Or you could text or call us on 027-229-6624. That's 027-229-6624. All right, friends, let's start today's program with prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you for our listeners, and we pray, Lord, a blessing upon them, your blessing. Father, we pray for our listeners and their families, and just pray that people will be encouraged and brought closer to you through our program today, for we ask and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, with all the things happening in the world, the second coming becomes a very important subject. And, you know, in a world that has no hope for the future, you can have hope for the future. You can have unbreakable hope for the future. And you can have that through Jesus Christ. You can have that today. And so today I want to share about some thoughts about the second coming. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:27. Jesus was being held captive before Caiaphas when he was here on earth. False witnesses were coming to try to prove him deserving of death. But Jesus held his peace. Finally, in frustration, the high priest said to him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. When Jesus was under oath in his earthly tribunal, even though he had been holding his peace, he did not hesitate to reply. Not only did he answer the question, but he gave more than he was asked for. And Jesus said unto the high priest and to everyone there, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. They could keep the high priest awake for many nights. He got that for which he did not ask. Jesus, under oath, promised that he would come again. How can you improve on that for proving that he is coming? And we know that Jesus was mistreated because of answering that question. So he wouldn't have answered that question unless it was true. And so he has promised that he will return. If there's anything the devil hates to hear about, it's the fact that Jesus is coming back to earth. He knows that when that happens, his power will be at an end. So he tries to deceive as many as possible by projecting onto Jesus his own manner of working. So how does Satan work? Good question. He is sneaky. The devil doesn't come openly, he sneaks. So he has been working to convince people everywhere that Jesus is planning to sneak in and sneak out. But we are told that every eye will see him in Revelation 1:7. He will come as the lightning. There is nothing secret about Jesus coming except the day and the hour, which only the Father knows, it tells us in 2 Peter 3:10. Why does Jesus come? The answer tells us that something important about Jesus. Jesus finishes what he begins. Because we are slaves to the clock, it seems to us that there has been a long wait. We sometimes wonder whether he will finish his work. Scoffers have said that it won't happen, but the time is fast approaching when he that shall come will come. During this waiting time, our task is to seek to know Jesus and to help others to know him, so that when he comes, he will be found of him in peace. Those who have walked with Jesus here on this earth will be able to look up and say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. And I know that I'm looking forward to that day, and you can too look forward to that day. Because it's not far off, friends. And if there's one thing for sure, everybody needs the Lord.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. When will we realize people need light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life, only we can share.
People certainly do need the Lord, for sure. What a wonderful song. Okay, friends, it's come time for the health tip of the week, and this week we're going to look at water. We've been looking at sleep for the last while, but we want to look at water. And, you know, for me, I've always known that, you know, it was important to drink water, but it wasn't until I know why it's important and what it does to my body when I drink water that it makes a difference to me. So let me just tell you about some of the things that water does for your body. One of the things is that it lubricates your joints. Cartilage found in joints and the discs of the spine contain around 80% water. Long-term dehydration can reduce joints' shock-absorbing ability, leading to joint pain. We don't want that, do we, friends? Two, it forms saliva and mucus. Saliva helps us to digest our food and keeps the mouth, nose, and eyes moist. This prevents friction and damage. Drinking water also keeps the mouth clean. Consumed instead of sweetened beverages, it can also reduce tooth decay. It delivers oxygen throughout the body. Blood is more than 90% water, and blood carries oxygen to different parts of the body. And one of the things that people don't realize is they take blood thinners. But you actually don't need – well, I have to be careful what I say here. But if you want to thin your blood, just drink quite a bit of water. That will naturally thin your blood down. You drink a liter or 8 glasses a day, it will definitely thin your blood down. And you'll find that, well, obviously water is natural and it's very good for you. It boosts skin and health beauty. With dehydration, the skin can become more vulnerable to skin disorders and premature wrinkling. And no one wants wrinkles, do they? Five, it cushions the brain, the spinal cord, and other sensitive tissues. Dehydration can affect brain structure and function. It is also involved in the production of hormones and neurotransmitters. Prolonging dehydration can lead to the problems with thinking and reasoning. And that's another good reason to drink lots of water. It regulates body temperature. Water that is stored in the middle layer of the skin comes to the skin's surface as sweat when the body heats up. As it evaporates, it cools the body. Some scientists have suggested that there is too little water in the body. Heat storage increases and the individual is less able to tolerate heat strain. The digestive system depends upon it. The bowel needs water to work properly. Dehydration can lead to digestive problems, constipation, and overly acidic stomach. This increases the risk of heartburn and stomach ulcers. And that's something that I've been having a bit of a problem with as I've been getting older. I've been getting more heartburn. So maybe I definitely need to drink more water. A lot of people around, once you get into your 60s, the body doesn't produce as much acid, and so that causes all sorts of issues. That's in your stomach, of course. It flushes body waste. Water is needed in the process of sweating and the removal of urine and feces. It helps maintain blood pressure. A lack of water can cause blood pressure to become thicker, increasing blood pressure. This has been said before. The airways need it. When dehydrated, airways are restricted by the body in an effort to minimize water loss. This can make asthma and allergies worse. It makes minerals and nutrients accessible. These dissolve in water, which makes it possible for them to reach different parts of the body. It prevents kidney damage. The kidneys regulate fluid in the body. Insufficient water can lead to kidney stones and other problems. It boosts performance during exercise. Some scientists have proposed that consuming more water might enhance performance during strenuous activity. Weight loss. Water may also help with weight loss. It is consumed and instead of sweetened juices or sodas. Preloading with water before meals can help prevent overeating by creating a sense of fullness. It reduces the chance of a hangover. When parting, unsweetened soda water with ice and lemon, alternated with alcoholic drinks, can prevent overconsumption of alcohol. And, you know, there's many, many good reasons to drink water. And, you know, we've looked at some of those today, and I saw one there that was important for me. And I'm sure that there would be something that was important for you. Yeah, the heartburn issue for me is something that I've had to start taking pills for. But maybe I just increase the amount of water that I drink. I probably struggle to drink 8 glasses, but I would definitely drink 4. But maybe I need to drink the 8 glasses of water each day. And, you know, you can make it more palatable, and to make it even better, super-powered water, put a slice of lemon in it or lime. But lemon is one of the greatest citrus fruits that we can eat. Put a slice of lemon or a couple of slices of lemon. Of course, the only thing, once you put lemon, it does have a shelf life then. You know, you can't just leave it in the bottle for 3 or 4 days. You need to drink it and then clean it out and top it up again. That's the only thing with putting lemon in it. But I can tell you that it just adds a lot of good nutrients to your body when you mix it with water.
Yeah.
You're listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. When Jesus came to this place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today I must stay at your house." In a large world, it's easy to feel that we are nothing more than an insignificant speck in the midst of a multitude. Our world tends to depersonalize us, especially today, seeking to make us like everyone else. But God loves us in a specific way that are particular to our personality. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to fulfill his assignment on the cross. The multitudes thronged around him in such numbers that the demure Zacchaeus could not see Jesus unless he climbed a tree. Zacchaeus would have been satisfied simply just to catch a glimpse of the great teacher. But Jesus stopped, turned, and looked directly at him. In that moment, Zacchaeus was oblivious to the crowd around him. Thus began a special time with Jesus that radically changed his life. Jesus will relate to you in ways that you are unique to you. He knows your past. He knows what you will face in the future, because he knows everything about you. His word to you will perfectly fit the circumstances of your life. You may be in a group of Christians who are listening to God's word, and you may hear things from him that no one else hears. Don't become frustrated with others if they are not as excited about a truth from God as you are. Don't be impatient with them if they are not implementing God's word in their lives exactly as you are. God will personally and personalize his word to you. He will relate to each of your friends in a way that specifically meets their needs as well as meeting your needs.
When your heart is heavy laden, feeling like the joy is fading, just come, come, believing everything I told you, here are arms that long to hold you, just come. Behind the mask you're hiding, here is someone to confide in. I know what you've done. Come and tell me everything you're hoping. The Father loves a heart that's open. Just come. So you could try to save yourself. I know who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Come, believe in everything I told you. Here are arms that long to hold you. Just come. Come into the joy of living, knowing that your sin's forgiven. Just come. Why didn't I so you could try to save yourself? Know who you are, don't try to be somebody else. Come, when your heart is heavy laden, feeling like the joy is faded, won't you come?
If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information.
Welcome back to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. Okay, as we start the second half of our program, we have two more segments that we are going to share with you. And this next segment is about from the book Steps to Jesus, a wonderful little book. And this is the last chapter, I believe. No, it's not. Sorry, it's the second to last chapter, chapter 12, and it's called What to Do with Doubt. And, you know, that can be something that people struggle with, doubt. And so let's just continue to read, just to show you what a wonderful book it is, and it would be a wonderful book to have in your library. We do not fully understand God and his works. If we could, there would be no more truth to discover. There would be no further growth of the heart and mind. God would no longer be first and above all. Let us thank God that he is greater than we are. God is infinite. All the hidden treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge are in him, it tells us in Colossians 2:3. In heaven, people will be forever searching to learn how great is his goodness. They will be ever learning how wise and how powerful God is. Even in this life, God wants us to be ever opening to the truth of his word to his people. There is only one way that we can receive these truths. We can understand God's word only through the light that comes from his Spirit. Only God's Spirit knows all about God. The Spirit searches everything, even the hidden depths of God's purposes, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. The Savior's promise to his followers was, when the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all truth. He will take what I say and tell it to you, John 16, verses 13 and 14. God wants us to use our reasoning powers. The study of the Bible will strengthen these powers and lift our minds as no other study can. Yet, we must be careful not to make reason a god, for it can be as weak as the human mind or body. We must have the simple faith of a little child who is ready to learn. We must ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Then we will have a clearer understanding of the truths of the Bible. We are made humble when we realize how wise God is. His greatness and power are beyond our understanding. We should open his word as though we were coming before God himself. In Bible study, reason must be a power greater than itself. Heart and mind must bow before the God who spoke of himself as the great I am. Many things at first seem hard to understand, but God will make them plain to us if we ask him for understanding. The Holy Spirit will guide us and help us not to change the meaning of the Scriptures or to misunderstand them. Sometimes when people read the Bible, it does not help them. It may even do them harm. Doubts come into their mind when the Word of God is to be studied without prayer. Our thoughts must be fixed on God when we open the Bible. We must be ready to follow his leading, for without God's help, our minds may be clouded with doubt. Then Bible study could lead to unbelief. Satan guides the thoughts when people do not ask God for his help when they study the Bible. They may make mistakes in understanding the Scriptures, no matter how well educated they may be. It is not safe to trust what they say the word means unless they are studying and obeying God's word. Some people read the Bible to try and find mistakes. They have not given their hearts to God, so they think that they can find many reasons for not believing. Doubt makes it hard for them to understand truths and that are plain and simple. In most cases, the real cause of unbelief is the love of sin. When we are proud and sin-loving, we do not welcome the teaching of God's word. If we are not willing to obey God's word, we are ready to doubt. We must have a sincere desire to know the truth and a willingness to obey it. If we study the Bible with a willing heart, we will find good reasons to believe in God's word. And obviously the opposite is true too. Christ said, "Whoever is willing to do what God wants will know whether what I teach comes from God or whether I speak from my own authority." We should not question and find fault with the truths we do not understand. We must walk in the light that we already have, and then will receive greater light. By the grace of Christ, we must do every duty that has been made plain to us. Then we will be able to understand and do those things which now doubt and question. We may find out whether God's word is real and his promises are true when we study the Bible for ourselves and see if God keeps his promises. God tells us to find out for yourself how good the Lord is. We must not depend on the word of another, but find out for ourselves, God says. Ask and you will receive. Yep, that's the one. He will keep his promises. They have never failed and they never can fail. As we come near to Jesus, we rejoice in his wonderful love. Our doubt and darkness will fade away in the light of his presence. The Apostle Paul says of God, "He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son." When we have accepted salvation, we are able to say that God is truthful. We can say, "I needed help and I found it in Jesus. Everything I needed was given to me. The hunger of my heart was satisfied. The Bible shows Jesus Christ to me." Do you ask why I believe in Jesus? Because he is, to me, a divine savior. Why do I believe the Bible? Because I have found it to be the voice of God speaking to my heart. We can know in our hearts that the Bible is true and that Christ is the Son of God. We can know that we are not following false and foolish ideas. Peter tells his brothers to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. When the people of God are growing in grace, they will understand his word better and better. They will see new light and its beauty of its holy truths. Light and truth have been given to the church in all ages, and they will be given until the end of time. The road the righteous travel is like the sunrise, getting brighter and brighter until the daylight has come. Proverbs 4:18. By faith we must look to heaven and take hold of God's promise that we will forever grow in understanding. In heaven, our powers will unite with God's powers and he will be brought in touch with him, from whom comes the truth of light. We can be thankful that in heaven all the things that we do not understand now will be explained and made clear. We may now see only broken plans and failure, but then we shall see God's perfect and beautiful plan for our lives. What we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see him face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete as God's knowledge is of me and of you, friend. And the Bible promises us that if we seek Jesus, that we will find him.
About life's gains and its losses, but mostly we just talked about his home. He said, I'm thinking about home, thinking about going home, dreaming about leaving here, ready to be. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone, but until then, I'll be thinking about home. I said, tell me, old man, where's your home and what's it like? He said, oh, ain't nothing round here that compares. You see, a king had it built and gave the deed to me, and all of God's family will be there. He said, I'm thinking about home, thinking about going home, dreaming about leaving here, ready to be. Until then, I'll be thinking about home. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone, but until then, I'll be thinking about home. Ooh, thinking about home. Ooh,
you're listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. All right, friends, on our final segment today, we're going to be looking at, well, this subject is called the Divine Shepherd, and it's taken from John chapter 10. The Pharisees had not entered by the door. They had climbed into the fold another way than Christ, and they were not fulfilling the work of the true shepherd. The priests and rulers, the scribes and Pharisees, destroyed the living pastures and defiled the wellsprings of water of life. Faithfully do the words of inspiration describe those false shepherds. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which is sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Ezekiel 34:4. In all ages, philosophers and teachers have been presenting to the world theories by which to satisfy the soul's need. Every heathen nation has had its great teachers and religious systems, offering some other means of redemption rather than Christ, turning the eyes of men away from the Father's face and filling their hearts with fear of him whom has given them only blessing. The trend of their work is to rob God of that which is his own, both by creation and by redemption. And these false teachers rob man as well. Millions of humans beings are bound down under false religions in the bondage of slavish fear, of solid indifference, toiling like beasts of burden, bereft of hope or joy of or aspiration here, and with only a dull fear of the hereafter. It is the gospel of the grace of God alone that can uplift the soul. The contemplation of the love of God manifested in his Son will stir the heart and arouse the powers of the soul as nothing else can. Christ came that he might recreate the image of God in man, and whoever turns men away from Christ is turning them away from the source of true development. He is defrauding them of their hope and the purpose of the glory of life. He is a thief and a robber. He that endureth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Christ is both the door and the shepherd. He enters in by himself. It is through his own sacrifice that he becomes the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them. And when he put forth his own sheep, who goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Of all the creatures, the sheep is the most timid and helpless, and in the East, the shepherd's care for his flock is untiring and incessant. Anciently, as now, there was little security outside the walled towns. Marauders from the roving border tribes or beasts of prey from their hiding places in the rocks lay in wait to plunder the flocks. The shepherd watched his charge, knowing that it was at the peril of his own life. Jacob, who kept the flocks of Laban in the pastures of Haran, describing his own unwearied labor, said, "In the day that drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes," Genesis 31:40. And it was while guarding his father's sheep that the boy David single-handedly encountered the lion and the bear and rescued them from the teeth of the stolen lamb. As the shepherd leads his flock over the rocky hills, through forest and wild ravines, to grassy nooks by the riverside, as he watches them on the mountains through the lonely night, shields from robbers, caring tenderly for the sickly and feeble, his life becomes one with theirs. A strong and tender attachment unites him to the objects of his care. However large the flock, the shepherd knows every sheep. Everyone has its name and responds to the name at the shepherd's call. As an earthly shepherd knows his sheep, so does the divine shepherd know his flock that are scattered throughout the world. "Ye are my flock, the flock of my pasture," are men, "and I am your God, saith the Lord God." Jesus says, "I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. I have graven thee on the palms of my hands," Ezekiel 34:31 and Isaiah 43:1, 49 and 16. Jesus knows us individually and touches and is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows us all by name. He knows the very house in which we live, the name of each occupant. He has at times given directions to his servants to go to a certain street in a certain city, to a certain and such house, and to find one of the sheep. Every soul was fully known to Jesus, as if there were no other one for whom the Saviour died. The distress of everyone touches his heart. The cry for aid reaches his ear. He came to draw all men unto himself. He bids them, follow me. And his spirit moves upon their hearts to draw them to come. Many refuse to be drawn. Jesus knows who they are. He also knows who gladly hear his voice and who are ready to come under his pastoral care, he says. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The eastern shepherd does not drive his sheep. He depends not upon force or fear, but going before, he calls them. They know his voice and obey the call. So does the shepherd Saviour with his sheep. The scripture says, thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Through the prophet, Jesus declares, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He compels none to follow him. I drew them, he says, with the cords of a man, with the bands of love. Psalm 77:20, Jeremiah 31:3, and Hosea 11:4. It is not only the fear of punishment or the hope of everlasting reward that leads the disciples of Christ to follow him. They behold the Saviour's matchless love, revealed through his pilgrimage on earth, through the manger of Bethlehem to Calvary's cross, and the sight of him attracts, it softens and subdues the soul. Love awakens in the heart of the beholders. They hear his voice and they follow him. As the shepherd goes before his sheep, himself first encounters the perils of the way, so does Jesus with his people. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The way to heaven is consecrated by the Saviour's footprints. The path must be steep and rugged, but Jesus has travelled that path. He has travelled that way. His feet have pressed down to the cruel thorns to make the pathway easier for us. Every burden that we are called to bear, he himself has borne. Though now he has ascended to the presence of God and shares the throne of the universe, Jesus has lost none of his compassionate nature. Today, the same tender, sympathizing heart is open to all the woes of humanity. Today, the hand that has pierced is reached forth to bless more abundantly his people that are in the world, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The soul that has given himself to Christ is more precious in his sight than the whole world. The Saviour would have passed through the agony of Calvary that one might be saved in his kingdom. He will never abandon one for whom he has died. Unless his Father was choose to leave him, he will hold them fast. What a wonderful promise that is. Jesus will never forsake or leave or forsake you, friends. And he will always help you. And if you're in trouble, friends, just cry out to the Lord. He will come and he will help you. And that's what the Bible says. It's what Jesus says. It's what the Father says and all the promises of the Bible. And I have found it to be 100% true. Whenever I'm in trouble, I call out to the Lord and he comes running to help his children, to help his child. All right, friends, as we come to the end of our time together, it's like all good things must come to an end. We just want to remind you of the free giveaways, those two books that we read from today, Steps to Jesus, and also The Desire of Ages. Remember, if you have a prayer request. Maybe you'd like to make a comment or you'd like to ask a question, and we'd be happy to answer that. And so you can contact us on our email address, or you can text us, and our email address is 999amazinggrace@gmail.com. That's 999amazinggrace, and Amazing Grace is only one G, at gmail.com. Or you can text or call us on 027-229-6624. That's 027-229-6624. All right, friends, let's finish with prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for our listeners. Lord, we thank you for the promises that you make, not only to us, but to everyone, no matter where they are, whether they are still in the world, whether they're following you. We know the promises that if anyone cries out to you, Lord, with an honest heart, that you will always come and help them. And so my prayer is for our listeners and their families, Lord, that they will cry out to you and that you will come to their aid and that you would help them. So, Father, I just give praise and thanks to you for all the opportunities that we have to share the gospel, and pray for our listeners, asking this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So from all of us here at Amazing Grace, we pray that you will grow in grace. May the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.